The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. The broadcast is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. The beautiful game from her point of view. Amy, Shereen, Signe, Claire, Rian, just to name a few. Broadening perspectives, horizons, and minds. You're tuned into the broadcast on Footy Prime.
These merchants of badassery.
Bye.
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 Thank you.
My friends were like, you need to watch it. And I was like, what? Also, I was going to tell you guys something. The BBC show 2026 is hilarious. It is
really?
About FIFA. It's like allegedly FIFA. It's about the organization of a massive tournament, and they can't use FIFA, so they bleep out the word FIFA because FIFA's precious. It is very witty. It's very sharp humor. It's very British, and I'm obsessed with it. I was on Commotion, CBC's Commotion yesterday to talk about it. You guys have to watch it. It is so funny.
Okay, will do. Must watch TV, according to Shereen Ahmed. This is the broadcast, and we are going to be bringing you a recap of week one in NSL sophomore season, coming at you really quick, as well as all of the culturally relevant things that you need to know, according to Shereen and Signe, and also me, in that order. So I'm Amy Walsh. We've got Signe Butler here and Shereen Ahmed, as I've already said. And let's see here. I didn't do paste to get to what I have to get to, but MGM, the place where soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime, and as well our week one in our recap of NSL action. So I thought before we got to our best 11, which was a hit last year, and we encourage you, dear listeners, to disagree with us if, you know, there are points of contention in our broadcast best 11. And it must be said that there were so many standout performances in week one that there was a lot of disagreement happening on our dark web. In our batch cooking. So we will get into that, all the healthy debates. And so we want you guys to join in as well. So don't hesitate to let us know somebody that we left off or somebody that you were really impressed with through week one. So we'll start with match one, which is a rematch of last year's final, Champions Night at Swangard. Nikki Small said they were out for revenge, Sigs, in this headline clash where they got the better of the defending champ. So what did you make of this kickoff to season two?
Thought it was fitting.
Yeah.
Right? It was fitting. The two finalists from last year, Swangard, which was just going, you know, it was a sellout at Swangard. Like the tickets were few and far between to, everybody showing up there for their team. I thought it was a good game overall. I mean, I know that the first games of the season often have a little bit of rust, but I actually thought both teams didn't show any of that preseason rust at all. Like I thought they came out firing, and especially Vancouver in the second half. I think AFC Toronto from the get-go was sort of, you know, the better team. They actually swarmed Vancouver. It looked very much like the final where AFC Toronto was peppering Morgan McCaslin on net.
Right.
It looked a little bit like that, but in the end, a 3-2 result for AFC Toronto, I think was excellent for both teams. And
would you have
a few players too, like that are new to the league. And I think that's also important. Go ahead, Serena.
I was a question for you. Would you identify this as a barn burner? There was 5 goals.
Oh, yes. I wouldn't call it a barn burner.
Okay.
Interesting.
It could have been a barn burner because I think there was a lot of missed chances. There could have been. Yeah, it could have been. Also, I thought you were going to say, what's wrong with your camera? Because I have like halos. I've got like, it's like the gods apparently are calling me up. Because
you're angelic. I just assumed it was the light around you.
Oh, yeah.
Angelic or aura farming, right? We know this because of DB celebrations last year. I am well versed in aura farming now.
Aura farming.
I think that's what you're doing. So you look good.
It's gone. It gone.
Oh, it's gone. Yeah. As soon as we're talking about it, it gone.
It gone.
Gone.
Also, people might be wondering what batch cooking is.
Oh, yes. That's true.
It's our WhatsApp group.
It's the name of our WhatsApp group. Yes.
Yeah. So I was cooking something up. Groups,
but that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
We did. I think it was very fitting that on our last broadcast, we had Jess DeFilippo on, as opposed to just one on. No, but just her talking. And I think it was this perfect setup because her own, and we had talked about, we had asked her about her connection with Abdu, which we saw. Mm-hmm. And we saw in real time. I mean, Rise didn't end up with the win at the end. It, you know, the scales were tipped to Toronto, but it was, I thought it was a great setup. So kudos to you, Dubs, for thinking all that shit up.
Well, no problem. And also kudos to Jess DeFilippo, because it should be noted that in the audio recordings of, which are so helpful when you're a journalist or you're a pundit covering a league, to have the actual player saying their own name the way that they want you to talk about them. It's very, very important. But I was embarrassed because we had her on our show and I was like, I've been saying your name wrong, not only the whole year, but also you were just a guest on the broadcast. And I must have said your name at least a half dozen times and I've been saying it wrong.
Yeah.
So I think you think about Jess DeFilippo, her nickname mm-hmm. or her name on socials is The Flip. So you mm-hmm. think about The Flip and a D-A instead of a D-E-E. So if you're wondering, fans, why her name suddenly stopped being DeFilippo and then now it's DeFilippo, that is why. That is how she wants her name to be said. But thank you, Shireen, for opening the door to that narrative. I thought that that combination, that attacking tandem with The Flip, DeFilippo dropping a little bit deeper and then connecting with Abdu, stretching the defensive line, I thought it was a little bit lackluster. I don't think we saw them combine with the potency that we've seen them in the past. I thought that Abdu had a freaking fire lit underneath her and she was going to put her whole team on her back and try to drag them back into their game, which she did. And the Reyes cracker of a shot, like what a scorcher.
That was so good.
Great, calm, composed play by Jess Cowart, who I thought was another standout performance across their back line, even though they did struggle to defend their box, especially in the first half. The Rise did collectively, but they figured out that that long, direct central ball was AFC Toronto had a lot of trouble contending with that, those types of balls, poor clearances. You saw it on the Reyes goal, but full credit to Reyes and Abdu and just the individual brilliance to connect on those two goals.
Mm-hmm. I thought that I agree with you completely. I thought Vancouver was a bit lost in the beginning of the first half on the back line. I thought there was a bit of confusion. Mm-hmm. McCaslin, I thought, did a good job being steady initially to keep them steady, but there was a bit of confusion there. I agree with you. Reyes was, you know, that built to thrill. That was for me Reyes in a nutshell. That was thrilling. And she also knew how good it was, the performance, because immediately after her, Sally was like, it was so exciting to watch. And I think, you know, with all the smart plays, like I thought Quinn was all, I thought they were great in the middle. There were some moments of brilliance like that we see and that we forget sometimes how storied Quinn is. I think some people can tend to forget how much experience they have, how much, literally just doing some really great technical stuff. I think someone else did a roulette somewhere in that game. I think Quinn did that. And I was like losing it over there. I'm such a sucker for those moves. But again, I agree with you. I thought Abdu was like, I cannot be stopped. It was literally, I cannot be stopped. Mm-hmm. The score line I thought was fair, but I also think that someone needs to talk to AFC Toronto about their defense. If we're going to talk about defense, was a little bit messy. The two goals on Cody Ard, they were not.
Well, Abdu's in particular was not strong. Go ahead, Stiggies. Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of a lot to be gained and a lot of improvements to be made across the back line, the way they defended, but especially deep in their own defensive third, and then Cody Ard on the back line needs to be much better. But I want to shout out a little bit before we move on to the Halifax Tides, who are maybe the big talking point of week one at Wanderers Ground, getting their first win versus highly consistent and very good team in Ottawa Rapid, missing a couple of big pieces. But I thought Esther Okoronkwo was incredible on the night. Sarah Stratigakis was a revelation as that number 10, disrupting, finding pockets of space.
So good.
And the way that, I mean, Zoe Burns gets on the board first and sort of capitalizes on great little combination play between Esther and Strats on the left, and then poor defending in the box by the Vancouver Rise. But that whole right side, driven by Nikki Small as the captain, I thought they were terrific on the night. But the wing backs, I mean, I know Burns had a standout performance and she scores that goal. I've said standout performance a number of times now. I'm going to stop. But she was
unbelievable.
But I think that Mariah Lee did a lot of good work neutralizing, in particular, Colby Barnett. Mm-hmm. And then I thought that Okamoto had a better second half, but I think that again, like a lot of good defensive work happening in the channels by both teams.
I was going to say, like, we were talking about some of the new, I kind of alluded to a couple of the new players, you know, and I point to Vancouver because they did lose five starters from last season. Yeah. Shannon Weller still out with injury. Sura Yekka, yes. Who we're used to see sort of more of as a wing back. I mean, at least with the national team and her appearances dating back to 2022, I thought was a really calming presence once she settled into that center back role alongside her. And, you know, I think that's a big improvement for them. They obviously have a lot of injuries in that center back role right now. So it'll be interesting to see whether they keep her there once the injured players kind of come back. But I thought that having that experience and that calmness back there was really good. And I think an exciting player that we should keep an eye on is Maite Lopez, who came in the second half. You know, I think the one knock will be that she's very right-footed. But I watch out for her. I think, like, not afraid to go at people. Obviously, like, some physicality as well. She's got some good size on her. I think that she'll be an exciting player to watch and develop as the season goes on. So that's my other two sort of observations there. And I think that you mentioned Latifa Abdu and Nikki Small kind of having great games. There was a certain person in the audience watching that game.
Good point.
Casey Stoney. So I wonder if that lit the fire a little bit for the Canadian women's national team coach watching that.
I do, in addition to all that, because I agree with Signe Butler, but I want to also shout out, even though I did say that AFC Toronto was a little murky in defense, I thought Sarah Rollins was a complete standout. I thought for such young a player, her distribution was excellent. I thought she was poised. I thought she was making really good decisions. With times where there could have been panic on Toronto's back line, I thought she held it together really well. She's only 21. And the only reason I say this, she did end up, and Sig, I heard this from you on the call, she left a really successful career at Thunderbirds to sign a contract early. It's the UBC homegrown talent, literally. And just, I think there's such a future for her. And because someone we shouldn't not think about, because she just really held it together. Like, for me, I was very impressed with the way that she played. And there was a little bit of chaos around her at times, for sure. But I just wanted to mention that I thought she was excellent in moments, for sure.
That's very well said. And just a couple of notes on two excellent points that you guys both made about the back lines is that Yekka is in the middle of the pitch because there's still injuries to captain and Shannon Weller, Kennedy Faulkner and Ariel Young. And then to your point about Sarah Rollins, I think that we asked Marco Milanovic about her. She's very young, I think has a tremendously high ceiling. He has no concerns about her being in the heart of that back three, and with Croy Soto still on her way back from injury as well. So if we move on to match two, which was a CBC match and all three of us were involved, which saw the Halifax Tides host the Ottawa Rapid at Raucous Wanderers Grounds. But this was not your 2025 bottom of the table Tides team, was it, Shireen?
As I said on the broadcast, the tides are rising. Or I made some water metaphor that I was really proud of myself for.
It was terrific.
If you want to talk about thrilling, I remember being like, I was on the, in the, when you guys were on the call, I was in the boardroom watching, taking notes. And I remember saying to our producer, Rhonda, shout out to Rhonda Kirkpatrick, who, for those of you who don't know, also curls with our very own Signa Butler on their curling team called Meryl Sweeps.
That Rhonda.
Rhonda's fantastic. Meryl Sweeps is the name of their team.
With Anastasia, I love that name.
And Stan.
And Stan.
Yeah. Top marks for that name, though.
I'm obsessed with it. I said to Rhonda, I was like, who is this team? Like they absolutely, the energy with which they came out, it was so fun to watch, because we also had a prediction on the show. Well, I did in particular, that I didn't think Halifax would be in the same spot as they were last year on the table. I think we've already got a clear indication. They came out the gates with a lot of fire, with a lot of excitement. And we know the crowd is going to be phenomenal. The beacons are going to come. They're going to shine bright.
Like Cygnus beacons of light.
Like
right now.
The beacons of light. But like, Foster Inman started off with a pretty solid save in the first 5 minutes, which set the tone a little bit. We weren't sure if it would be Toth or Foster Inman, but, you know, for on the call, Hardy even said that, you know, it's not for sure. And there's like a number one or whatnot. And I think that's fine, but just the way they moved, the chemistry of the players, the confidence with which Lemire came out as well.
Yes.
I thought Sid Kennedy, we're going to fight a little during our best 11, which is amazing. And I'm looking forward to that. But I thought Sid came out in a leadership role that was so obvious on the pitch, the confidence with which she moves literally, and the energy around her. I was so excited to see. We knew immediately that there would be movement. Stella Downing, of course, didn't play, but even the storylines moving from Ottawa to Halifax, the impact was almost immediate in terms of what they were looking for. That's what I meant. Yeah. Benatti, and how effective she was. It was very exciting. It was exciting. I was so happy with that. It was great. It was really good soccer. I'm going to stop talking now, Sig.
I think what's important here, and I mean, we always get knocked or maybe applauded for our East Coast bias, one or the other. But I think the bigger storyline here is that this is good for the league.
Yes.
You absolutely need to have competition, and you need the teams to be close together in the table to make things interesting. It's game one. It was their home opener. Lots of obviously adrenaline running like that. But I think it's apparent that the team has improved. 11 changes, 11 new players from last season in, and 11 returnees. So they have some consistency, but they also have a lot of improvement. And you'll see that in our best 11 today. In particular, I thought that I didn't have an issue necessarily with Halifax's backline last year. I thought that they were okay. Fairly consistent. The problem was the connection between the lines of play
and getting them up the pitch
and that they were more transitional in attack.
Yeah.
This year, like, it was interesting because Stephen Hart said on the call, he said in his mind, you know, yes, there's improvement, but I still see us being a bit transitional in attack. I didn't see that. I didn't see them rely on that against Ottawa. So, you know, on that point of view. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about Halifax's players in, you know, as we talk about the best 11, but Ottawa, I think that wasn't their best game. I think it's apparent that they are missing that tandem in the middle with Desi Scott and Ellen Gibson. I did think that Kira Mellenhorst was a bright spot for Ottawa. She's a first year pro. Sadie Waite, a first-year pro. It's going to take time for these players to actually get acclimated to playing professional football. It's going to take them some time. I don't think it's like, oh, you know, dire straits or anything for Ottawa by the score, the 3-1 score. I think you still saw their principles of play. But Halifax was the better team on the day. Like, that's just, you know, I said to Amy, I was like, were we talking about Halifax too much on the call? And we were, because they dominated.
Yes, this is the thing.
I was like, was I being fair? And I was like, no, like, I think we were, because Ottawa just didn't have the stuff. Like,
yeah.
They just didn't have it in the same way that we're used to seeing. And I think that they will, they've got some changes in big roles. They will be fine.
Yeah.
Ottawa yes.
will be fine. And they've got some, you know, obviously, like, we didn't talk about DB much because
they didn't.
They didn't service her, and the center back tandem of Naya Cardoza and Addie Wickers kept her at bay.
Yeah, really excellent performances by those two. And like, to piggyback on a couple of points that both of you guys made, last year you saw the Tides make strides with, I think, a roster that had much less quality because they were disciplined and they were organized defensively. So the back line was there. They were backstopped by Toth, who was one of the best goalkeepers in the league. So they were hard to play against and they were difficult to break down, but they had nothing in possession. They had nothing going the other way, except, as you mentioned, Signe, occasionally in transition. And then they couldn't finish. The final ball was an issue. But we talked more about Halifax on the call because they were the protagonists. They dictated. They set the tempo. So I think that, you know, we talked about this team being revamped, right? Was our word in our preview. To describe the roster. But it was almost inspired, imposing. It was comprehensive as a performance, but this is their baseline. They're only going to get better, in my estimation. Teams will adapt, they'll adjust to the way that they're playing, and we'll talk about the individuals in a bit. But this is a completely transformed Tides team in the way of mindset and quality. I was very impressed.
I think one of the things, too, it's important, as Sig said, it was the first match. So Katrine Peterson's going to figure out with this new team, because also Ottawa had never played a team of Halifax like this before. So they'll figure out, they'll study that, they'll watch film, they'll figure out what to do, they'll figure out how to, you know, be like properly serve DB who they need up in the front. Like, this is just the beginning. And this is one of the things I think that's the most exciting, is that it is just the beginning of this particular season. So watching the storylines unfold, watching the teams adjust, develop, grow, and then perform at the level that they want to. Like, this is game one out of a 700 month long season for the NSL. It seems like it's, I love it. Don't get me wrong. It's just really long. We're in competition with like the Blue Jays for like longest season, isn't it like really long? Anyways, I feel like it's very long. I love it, don't get me wrong, love it here, but I agree. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how Ottawa responds and how other teams will respond to Halifax and the newly vamped, you know, absolutely extreme makeover, if we can call it that, of the Halifax Tides.
Mm-hmm. I thought Belle Zill did well. I mean, I know I'm talking about individuals here, but she's not as part of our best 11, spoiler alert. But she replaced Friedland, and I thought that she made things a little bit better for Ottawa going the other way. Whereas I thought Mina, it was a tale of two halves in the other way, where she was very bright in the first half, more on the ball, and was doing a lot of defensive work to help Jung and Mellenhorst in the middle of the pitch. But there was a lack of connection and understanding, especially centrally, that you really saw the fact that they were missing two giants and two pillars from the year before in Desi Scott and then Ellen Gibson. Like, I think that was glaring. So they have to fix that, and quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I also, I've never seen Liv Scott and Jaleesa Harris under so much pressure as I saw them. I think that was because, you know, they were missing that double pivot in a midfield.
Yep. It insulates them, right?
They handled it. It's not that they didn't handle it well. I've just never seen them under that much pressure.
Yep. Completely agree. Okay. Well, were you guys okay to move on to the next match there?
Indeed, Amy.
Okay. Let's go then. So the next match saw, and Signe Butler, shout out to you, my friend, because I was on two matches, the two that we just discussed, and it was a pretty quick turnaround from the late match, because it was coming from Vancouver on the Friday night, to the 12 p.m. kickoff at CBC. But then you didn't stop. You kept going. It was 12 p.m. as the second game as a kickoff, and then it was a 7 p.m. TSN match coming from Snowy McMahon.
Yeah.
Where we lost the feed in that first half. So maybe talk a little bit about calling your third match in like 18 hours and then dealing with the chaos that was losing the feed.
Well, yeah, I mean, really unfortunate. Obviously, if you watch the broadcast, We had technical difficulties. Yes, it was Snowy McMahon. It was cold. I'm not sure if that had something to do with the fact that why, but basically like all power went out like from McMahon. So there was no way, like it wasn't anybody's fault. It was basically like Mother Nature's like saying, okay, you can't have any action right now. Like
yeah,
it was,
we're going to shut it down.
We're going to shut it down. We had nothing. So like we had there's something called EVS where you trap highlights and you play them back. So we were basically playing back highlights that had happened in the game. Like we had nothing, like we had zero. It was black.
Yeah.
We didn't know what was going on. I also couldn't talk to my producer. Like we had a few technical things on our end as well. But anyway, Kate was amazing. Kate handled things in studio and with a lot of the apologies. I was on the call with Jess Lisi. Jess Lisi and I were looking at each other going, how many times are we going to describe this one play that happened? But yeah, it wasn't ideal. It did come back in the second half, which was great. And we got to see the first 10 minutes of the game, between Calgary and Montreal. I thought Calgary came out on the front foot, obviously their home opener. If you saw the great video that they captured of, Maggie Doherty Howard, giving her team the pregame talk on the Northern Super League, socials, you know, like they were really motivated to get going, give their crowd. I think they had about 3,000 to 4,000 people out, and it was cold and snowy.
It was snowy.
Mm-hmm. But they were loud. You could hear them.
They were loud. Yep. So, but then the feed went out. So unfortunately we missed Elise Bennett's first goal. Like, I mean, it wasn't ideal, right? Like this is not ideal for anyone. But we did come back in the second half and you saw Montreal kind of, take over, I would say.
Yeah.
They just were more connected. Calgary was missing a lot of pieces. We know that there's some injuries within the team. We know there's some illness within the team. So unfortunately, you didn't have Michaela Moore. You didn't have Sarita Thurton. Who else am I missing here, guys?
Allie Hess,
Maya Jones. So, I mean, like those four players themselves, I mean, come on. Like,
and right down the gut. Those are like crucial players to this team, the way they want to play right down the spine.
Absolutely. So I think that, we didn't see the true Calgary team that we're expected to see this season. I also thought we saw some bright spots, like Keelan Stewart she was really, really good. Tegan, her sister, who we normally see, she was called up to the U20 team, came in the second half, also very bright. So I think those, the Stewart twins have really grown into professional life. And you know, like Grace Doherty, Maggie Doherty Howard, the usual suspects were solid for me. But
Megarty was working really hard, and I see that we were working very hard. Shout out to the Calgary fans who were there with their duvets and their parkas, and it was, and in the day before, we had Kelly Shouldas of the league in up at our studio at CBC, and she was checking logistics to see if they could, in fact. Oh, sorry, it was later that night. Yeah, that match was later that night, that day. If they could move the ice, is what she said. Those were her words, and I was like, ice in like April. This is wild. But anyway,
Calgary wild.
I have some commentary on Calgary's goalkeeping. I had wondered why Caitlin Talbert was not selected. The race was, and I have so many questions. Also want to know why she wasn't given a booking for that. I was going to say assault on
Elise Bennett.
On Bennett.
It would have been a great opportunity for Signet to say, and she's run a race.
And she's, yes, I thought that was quite, and using basketball terminology, flagrant in terms of, I was shocked. There was no card, nothing.
No foul.
No foul. I did actually check in with Wild to find out, and Caitlin Talbert was available to play, just wasn't selected. And, you know, that's fine. That's not my call. It's the coach's call. But it was a bit of a wild decision, in my opinion.
Well done. And I just I'm going to note here that we did not say the score. So it was Elise, and that's my fault for teeing it up or teeing you up, Signa, and not framing it that way. So this is the score roundup. We've already talked about how visiting AFC Toronto got the revenge and ruined Champions Night. So they opened sophomore season 3-2. Then the Tides I would say trounce is maybe not too heavy a word, the Ottawa Rapid at home 3-1. So that's huge for them. And then this match we're just currently discussing, and we're going to wrap up in a couple of seconds here, saw Elise Bennett's brace lead the way as the Roses took it to the Wild away and won 2-0. So, yeah, I mean, that is announcing your arrival, right? That's an exclamation point on that performance, being the focal point, introducing more threat to an offense, Cigna, that desperately need it for the Roses in Elise Bennett.
And I, you know, full shout out to Kate McKenna and Jess Lisi in studio.
Yes.
Because they made this comment. They said, is it too early to say Elise Bennett is challenging for the Golden Boot? And I don't think it is too early.
No,
opening day. I mean, that's throwing down the gauntlet, isn't it?
The header goal, first of all, which we missed, a great assist by Chloe Minas. The header was textbook.
Yep.
The other goal, the cross in front, I believe it was from, Sove. Well, yep. Delivered, side, yep. Foot, so confident. Elise Bennett buries it. It was like the finishing was exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah. That was attacking transition to perfection. Yeah. Sig, sorry to step on you there.
No, not at all. And I just thought they were the clear identity that Robert Rossatoyou has. Again, talking about identities in the Ottawa Rapid, the Montreal Roses have that identity as well. Just like keeping that possession, building from the back, taking their opportunities. I thought like in the back, you know, Lucy Capodanno, Steph Hill.
Yep.
Just keeping things in check back there. Yeah, and the midfield for me, you know, with Chloe Minas playing a full season, I think that she's a real bright spot for sure. And there's question marks in that midfield because Ali Hess is not there. Mm-hmm. And they don't have Evelyn Baddoo yet. So
exactly. Who has arrived though, right? Like who Montreal Rose's socials had her showing up, and then she's going to practice this week. So she is another potential game changer for the Roses.
Can I just weigh in on this DB gauntlet thing? DB wasn't on the scoreboard at all on this weekend, and the fact that Elise Bennett had a brace in her first appearance, I don't think it was too fast for Lisi and Kate to say anything, because A, we love the tension and the storylines. Like, we live for this shit. But also, like, look, if we can foreshadow a little bit, Elise Bennett on Media Day came out with a strength and a confidence. She knew what she was going to do. She was absolutely intentional about that. I do want to point out, and we saw this in whatever little coverage we were able to see, was that there was a lot of prayer happening for her. And she mentioned that. She mentioned that as a part.
Sorry, Shireen.
Prayer. Prayer. Mm-hmm. She was very like committed to that. There was a little prayer circle. I don't know if anybody saw this before they had the team huddle. And look, that's part of that player's story, and she's really honest about that, and that's a really interesting thing to observe. Mm-hmm. And I was really fascinated by her. I'm looking forward to seeing her. She was quite frankly electric, and I really enjoyed that assist from Sove, because it's almost like they've just been waiting for somebody to whom they can serve that ball and get it through. Also, I'm excited for Roses as well. I think we'll see a little bit of a difference in that team. I'm really excited for Baddoo to come, because I think that'll add some added electricity. I think I should move from water metaphors to electricity metaphors, you know?
I'm liking your electricity. Like, I think your metaphors are very apt today. They're very on the nose, because McMahon was without electricity, right? Until perhaps Bennett scored the first of her two on the day. Yes. It's very, very well done, Shireen.
Thank you.
Let's get into our 11s.
Let's fight.
Gloves off.
One thing though about the Roses, I just wanted to add, Avi Seto, who came from the Tides to the Roses, is a homegrown player if we have them in this league, right? Like, she grew up playing. My friend Kit Seladopoulos, who is now the assistant coach for Forge for a long time, has run soccer camps in Outremont for ages. He shared a video with me, and it's a young Anne Valerie Seto getting like the player of the camp when she's like 7 years old.
Oh,
like,
cool.
This is a kid that grew up here. So she's back to her old stomping grounds, and she's deployed as part of that back three. And she's the one, I believe, who starts that transitional attack.
She played very well in that.
She did. I like her there a lot. Moving out of the back, it gives them just a different element going forward. So something to keep your eye on. So Shireen, why don't you kick us off here? So this is Shireen Ahmed's best 11 of week one in NSL. So maybe not, don't go through all of it. So we encourage you guys, if you're listening to this on audio only, come see us on YouTube and you'll see Shireen's best 11, Cigna's, and then mine, and as it kind of comes together with our broad's best. But Shireen's going to pick out a couple of standout performances. Because listen, I'm just going to keep saying it. It's my phrase of the day here in the broadcast. So on to you, Shireen.
So I had Foster and Min in the back. I did think that two of her saves that were really commendable were actually self-imposed, but she corrected those errors, which is also a sign of a seasoned goalkeeper. I have Allen in the back, and because I figured she was fantastic, I do want to let everybody know that initially my 11 looked like it was 2 and then 7.
You were inverting the pyramid.
I was inverting the pyramid in a very journalistic way. It was a mess, my starting 11s. So what I basically decided to do is, instead of putting people in their proper position, I put them where I think they are in my head. So it's basically 11 on the pitch, not necessarily in the correct formation, in a salty formation. So this is what we'll call it. I did have Steph Hill on the back. I think she's another player that I'm really excited to see from the Roses, Steph Hill from the Roses. Cheyenne Allen, just going back, it tides. I loved Wickers. I loved Eddie Wickers. I love that she scored off a set piece. It's exciting for me when defenders get in there and they get hungry. And I love football for this reason, because you're not resigned into that one location and that area, that you can do stuff that's really fun. I just love it. Who do I have? Rollins, and I already explained why.
Pick out maybe one more, then we'll go to Siggy's.
Okay, so my fight with everybody, because I've talked about everybody else, I believe, was Sid Kennedy. I've mentioned Sid in the beginning when I talked about a little bit about Tides. I thought she was managing really well, and she showed a lot of leadership, and I was really excited to see. She came out with a lot of swagger. Her personality is the way she plays, and I love that. And she's a player that I like to watch play, and she was in command of what she was doing, and it was great to watch, and it was a home game. So that's my roundup.
Okay, so again, listeners, viewers, let us know. Do you like Shireen's 11 and how it will differ from our broad's 11? Let us know. Weigh in. And now this is Signe Butler's week one best in NSL.
Yeah, I did the old 4-3-3 standby. By the way, I don't know what's going on with what mob right now, but Jaleesa Harris is not DB Pridham.
No.
But Jaleesa Harris's picture was there last year. So I don't know what's going on, but DB is everywhere. So
it's true.
Jaleesa Harris is not DB Pridham, but I had Jaleesa Harris in the back. I just thought most passes, most touches, best defender of the year last year. I think she'll be on the way to earning that right this year again. I thought, so my back line, I put Valeron in there. I thought the attacking, even though she was on the right side, attacking up that right channel, obviously the goal, big deal. Very Tides heavy again. Sorry. Sarah Le Miller over Sid Kennedy. Sorry, Shireen. And I love Sid, but Sarah Le Miller for me was a workhorse for the Tides, really created a lot. And I think the unanimous choices up front, Bennett, Okoronkwo, Abdu for me. Really standing out. And quick shout in the midfield. Nikki Small again leading the league in tackles right now after one game. The fire lit under her with Casey Stoney in the audience, hopefully checking out and seeing what she can deliver in terms of creativity and and backtracking and just all the things she does.
Yeah, on and off the ball.
And that Lemire left foot, I mean, come on.
Oh, gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
For me, it's the easy range that she has. There's no one else in a league that can do that except for Quinn. Yeah. In the way that they paint the pitch, to steal one of your terms, Sigs, long diagonal switches. So Lemire has that, but it's even more effortless. And of course, her set piece delivery, which we saw the Tides capitalize on. But Nikki Small, for me, it's the movement, it's the overloads created on that right flank, the chance creation, but also the defensive action. all of those like recoveries, tackles, everything that she does off the ball and out of possession to contribute to her team and the way that they collectively defend. So on to the broadcast, best 11. But before I do, I wanted to say much of like how the phrases that we can pull from the broadcast is, I agree with Cigna coming from Shireen. And it should be said that I usually agree with Cigna as well. So I love that week one is provoking. I don't agree with Cigna from Shireen, which is also important. Okay, so this is
we were a bit spicy cooking yeah. in Batch's cooking. There was a bit of spice going on back and forth about who to land on and what position, what role, and so that was I like that. It was a bit of a feisty morning this morning.
Yeah, the broadcast, hot ones. We'll see how we go. Okay, so listen, this reflects kind of a bit of both. The one player that we maybe haven't discussed, because I'm not going to go through all of them, but you'll see it on our graphic on socials for this week's broadcast. Or again, if you're viewing on YouTube, you'll get a chance to see it. But shout out really to just everybody in week one, because I think the important thing to underline is that it was a step up from year one. Right? Is that like the league is growing, the standard is improving. And I think you saw that in all three matches, and we will continue to see that. But Cardoza on the back line, we talked a lot about the Tides and their back line. I thought she was absolutely brilliant. And then the only other player that we have mentioned, but maybe didn't spend too much time focusing on, I want to know if either one of you want to weigh in on Sarah Stratagakis for AFC Toronto.
She was so good. Like we talked about in the, I think, didn't you talk about her already?
I talked about her off the top.
We talked about Strats, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think the thing about Stratagakis is that she is so technical. And
yes.
We're only seeing glimmers. Like she joined the league at the summer transfer window last year. We've only seen glimmers of what Sarah Stratagakis can do. You know, like impacting the game with assists, impacting the game, obviously, with that beautiful goal, chesting it down and off the half volley against the Rise in game one. And I think she's really going to, like that combination with, I think that midfield for AFC Toronto, even with the absence of Emma Regan, is among the best in the league.
And Esther on the service from Central Areas. Can we keep that up, please, Marco Milanovic?
Esther was shielding the ball. She was a menace.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
For me, Stratagakis is consistent, if anything. And the one thing about the broadcast best 11 is the high game IQ here. When you were talking about Nikki, I think she doesn't get enough credit for how smart she is about the game. And this particular one thing I will agree with is how smart these players are and how well they know this game strategically. And that's one of the things, like we can talk about the technicality of it and everything. They're also incredibly smart. Yeah. And I love how that emanates and manifests in the way they play and the way it comes together. I mean, now that I'm looking at the best 11, I think you both have worn me down a little bit. It's quite a bout that we've had, but like, I love it. And I love that it's going to change. This is the other thing. It won't look the same week to week and that we'll see different performances. There'll be ebbs and flows, but like we're off, like as somebody who, like all three of us who have been involved and we know this league inside out, this is a fantastic start. Like I couldn't have predicted this. And yeah, for me, maybe the movement and the waves that the Tides are making may be a catalyst for that, a little bit of the feeling, but I think it's fantastic. And I'm looking forward to week two. Sig, are you calling 700 games again this weekend?
I'm calling two of the three.
Okay.
Me too. Well, actually, that's a good transition here. Let me get this off the stage here. So a quick shout out there to Anna Karpenko, who backstopped the Roses to a clean sheet. So first one of the season. And check out a chat that I had with Anna at the end of last year, just all about her style, risk versus reward, Maurice Bard-Martel, her coach, and listening to her and Robert Rossitoyou and how that really plugs into the system that they want to play. But week two, so looking ahead to that. So Saturday, we'll see the Pride Home opener for the Ottawa Rapid as they host the Calgary Wild. Hopefully no snow in that one. And then Siggy's and I will be on the Vancouver Rise visiting Montreal Roses for their home opener at Stade Boreal. And anybody who's a Montreal fan, FC Supra will make their first appearance at Stade Boreal the next day because they've been at CEPSUM at Université de Montréal to great crowds, sold out crowds. So keep that up, please, at Stade Boreal in Laval. And then Sunday, Siggy's and I are back on CBC Gem as the Tides visit BMO Field and AFC Toronto for their home opener. Oh, and one other thing, RTDs from Footy Prime and Nickel 9 Distillery, yellow cards and red cards will be available at all home AFC Toronto matches as well as inter-Toronto matches. So check that out and consume your booze responsibly.
Good messaging, Amy.
Thank you. Well done. So we've gone 44 minutes here.
I forgot. Sorry, Dubsy.
Yeah, get it right, Sigs. Siggy Sauce, all of the nicknames we have here. Shireen, I wanted very quickly to give you the floor here. A couple things. You were at the opening for where preseason opener for Toronto Tempo. Maybe talk a little bit about that. But also, important note, you shared a video about this. Afghan women on their way back to official international matches after a FIFA rule change.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Ames. I went to Toronto Tempo's preseason last night at Coca-Cola Coliseum. I was actually looking out for AFC Toronto to see if they would be there and vice versa at Toronto's home opener at BMO this weekend. I'm wondering if Tempo will be there. They may not because they're on the road to play Minnesota, but we'll see what happens. It's nice to jump into this women's basketball space in Toronto. Is one of the markets that's very fortunate in this country to have three professional women's teams, which is pretty wild. You know, it's why I still can't believe it's actually there.
Oh, it's so fucking cool.
It's amazing. I do really like this hat. I actually have no money left to buy merch. And NSL keeps coming out with these awesome things. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be so poor at the end of it. But I did treat myself to this hat that I can't wear when I'm like reporting on it, but I can wear it because I'm not.
I love it
right now. It's glittery, everybody. So if you feel this, it's like textured. Yes. And this is blue. This is the hydrogen blue and the Bordeaux, which I think is a gorgeous color combination. Like props to whoever did that. Because I'm very particular about colors. Hmm. So like I like colors. I am a person of color. So I don't know. Okay, anyways, I've got to move on. So Afghanistan, speaking of people of color, that's a nice transition. Afghanistan, actually, for those that don't know, their women's national team, as of August 2021, when the Taliban regime took over, they were barred. They were barred not only from education, from accessing proper healthcare, mobility. It's been an absolute mess. And it was a team that was on the go. They were founded by Kalita Popal in 2007 and moving slowly, as sometimes teams do in those federations that don't prioritize them or have the, you know, logistical or the infrastructure. So anyways, those women were evacuated. There's a story, Susie Rack of The Guardian covered it first, about how Kalita actually, who's been in Denmark for almost a decade, she had them evacuated. It's an absolutely harrowing story. She wrote a book about it, No, Kalita is a friend of mine. There's no reason. This is not a marketing ploy. The story of what she did for football and for her teammates is incredible. It's called My Beautiful Sisters. It's actually, you're like, this is a movie. This isn't real, but it is real. And a lot of, we take for granted, we have safety and structure here in Canada. Not everybody who loves football has that around the world. And it's a very gentle reminder. So to get to the point, at the FIFA Congress that's starting today, they've met a couple of days before the FIFA Council. What this team of women that we're doing, because not allowing women to play in a federation is actually against FIFA statutes, which was what Afghanistan was doing. The Afghan Football Federation wasn't permitting their women to play at all. So that is not acceptable. So this team was saying, let us play, but in exile, because they're not trying to go back to Kabul. So that was awkward. And FIFA was hesitant to ban the federation. Questions why and why not. I've written about it before. However, the decision was made to allow them to actually be Afghan Women United is what they'll be called. Whether they will be associated with the AFF still remains unclear. They could be an independent entity under the Afghan flag. So there's a couple of questions I have about that. Initially, the response is it's unprecedented, but it's important considering the world today. Like, what does this look like? And there's people that have been advocating, Kalida Popal, one of them, Sports Rights Alliance, and I'm really lucky. Both of those women texted me immediately and told me and sent me videos, which I put on my feed, just because I think it's an important story to share. It's not over.
Yeah.
Because there's still women in that country don't have access to what they should have access to. And we hope that one day women all over the world can play football in peace and in safety and by choice. So, but this is we need some fucking good news. And this was some good news.
Yeah. I love that. Well, thank you for sharing it so eloquently. We appreciate you, and keep following Shireen if you don't already on socials to keep up with that, because it will be ever evolving. I'm sure. Okay, on that, we will say bye. I just wanted to quickly shout out Canadian stars Olivia Smith, Ashley Lawrence, and Vanessa Gill in leg two of the semifinals for Women's Champions League. That's happening this weekend. One match on Saturday, one match on Sunday. And I believe you can watch it all on One Soccer, because One Soccer is for sure showing the final. I believe they showed last weekend's. So catch it there, which is great. So acquiring more rights so that we in Canada can watch more football, because everybody should be able to play. And everybody should be able to watch. So thank you for broadening your horizons with us. And again, don't forget to let us know anything that you disagree with, anything that you agree with. We want to hear from you. So hit us up on socials, whether it's Twitter or Instagram, and like and subscribe. We appreciate you all. And then as I look for what I'm meant to say, there it is. It's brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. But cheers for listening and watching. Thanks, everybody.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG and on Twitter at @Footy_Prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Bye.
See you. Farewell.